Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is Dale Jackson welcoming you to the Lamp and Light broadcast, coming to you from the studios of Central Baptist Church in beautiful Ocala, Florida. Lamp and Light is a ministry. It takes a book of the Bible, verse by verse, teaching it as it is to men as they are, without compromise or apology. Speaking the truth in love is our purpose, and to give the lamp and light to all. Now, here is our teacher and pastor, Dr. Andy Bloom.
Yesterday in our study of Joel 2, we were taught that we should always endeavor to give our very best to the Lord. Please listen closely as we continue there today.
On his firm foundation, for the Bible stands.
What did God do in Egypt when he saw the blood on the doorpost? He passed over. People are either thankful or not thankful based on their personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. When they saw the dead, the firstborn of all of Egypt, then those that had had the blood on the post, they were so thankful. They knew that God had their best interest in mind. He had their best interest in heart when he commanded them to do something. To do something they may not have wanted to do, but they did it in obedience to God, and God did a great work. God may have already decided to judge America, and it may begin in our local churches, but praise God, as labors together with God, the tide can be turned as it was in Josiah's day, and as it could have been in Chorazin's and Bethsaida's day, had they repented. The question may come down to, are we willing to pay the price? You see, we may talk the talk without walking the walk. We're to sanctify a solemn assembly. It may require setting aside people, things, and pleasures of this life that we might wholeheartedly seek after God. You see, our text, Joel 2:15, called it a solemn assembly. It may require setting aside what has become a habit of unrighteousness in our life. It is setting aside for a purpose. That purpose is repenting before God of our sin and turning to His righteousness, admitting our wrong, making no excuse. You know, I always at our church tell our people around Christmas time that the most expensive gift they buy at Christmas time ought to be for the Lord's work. Some of you listening to me are listening by FBN. A good gift for the, and this isn't your tithe, this is above your tithe, this is an offering. The most expensive gift that you give this Christmas may be for FBN. It may be for the radio station there at 90.3 in Haines City. It may be for the Caribbean Lighthouse Radio. It may be out there with Brother Evans and out there in Pompeii in the Micronesian Islands. It may be right here in Ocala, you listening to this radio station. It may be those listening by way of internet. It may be helping these radio stations. It may be something extra for your church, for missionaries. But whatever it is, why not put Christ first? Well, Christ just doesn't need to be first at Christmas time, the most expensive gift, but he needs our all throughout the year. And this step of repentance is probably greater than any gift that we could have given him back at Christmas time. Well, don't wait till next Christmas. Do it now. Do it now. Do it now. But you see, that is going to be totally, 100% up to you whether you do it now or you don't. God calls for a solemn assembly. Proverbs chapter 28, verse 13 says, "He that covereth his sins shall not prosper." You can cover them, you can make excuses for them, or you can make excuses for your children's sin, your friend's sin, and whoever else's sin. But he that covereth his sin shall not prosper. When Daniel prayed there in Daniel 9, he wasn't covering his sins nor anybody else's sin. He's confessing the idea of the forsake. And so he says in Proverbs 28, "He that covereth his sin shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy." That's what Joel found out after those people. God's judgment had passed. They confessed and forsook. That happened with Daniel in Daniel chapter 9. Confessed, forsook, and they got to come out of the captivity. One of the things that I've discovered is that people, as they lay in a hospital bed, not knowing if they are going to make it, have told me things that the hunting, the fishing, the sports team, or whatever else it was, maybe it's a business deal. Maybe they did somebody out of a deal. Maybe they won some kind of a card game, which is another thing that the preachers used to preach against, the gambling and so forth. And boy, we hit it hard when the lotteries and all that started hitting the states. Now none of us mention it. I wonder why. Is it all of a sudden not sin? Or do we not touch it because the people in our church are buying the ticket? Well, that tells you about the day that we live in. But I've had people that are in those positions in bed that all those things they were so proud of, ladies, things that were important to them as well, now they mean so little. And the issues of life and eternity are far more important. Now, let us not forget the words of Jesus in this regard in Luke chapter 17, verses 26 through 30. "And as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the Son of Man. Now, they did eat and they drank. They married wives. They were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark. And the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise, also, as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they built. In other words, they were very prosperous, weren't they? But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed." You see, these aren't talking about dirty things, bad things they're doing. They ate, they drank, they married, and so forth. It's just building houses. Oh, they're prosperous, but they lived a life without God. God was the afterthought. God was only if they had time. And I'm just glad that at Sodom we see a picture of Lot being delivered, but he was such a, although a righteous man, the Bible calls him, and Peter, we find that he's also a man that when he went to his own son-in-laws and even members of his own family, thought he mocked when he told him of coming judgment. His life had no witness whatever. And how many of us can be taken out the rapture, but there was no witness when we suddenly are standing before the Lord and we're as broken as Lot and his two daughters going in heaven's gate empty-handed. Now, if you're saved, this tells us of two things. In 1 John chapter 2, verse 28, it says, "And now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming." As a Christian, you'll either be ashamed or you'll have confidence at his appearing. Shamed will be saved so as by fire. Ashamed will be living according to your standard and the world's standard and instead of God's standard and the holy life. In Luke chapter 19, verse 17 and verse 26, we read this. "His Lord said unto him," in verse 17, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I'll make thee a ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord." Oh, that is being confident. when Christ comes. But on the other hand, there's that other one in verse 26, for I say unto you and to everyone which hath shall be given, and from him that hath not shall be taken even that away, even that was for him, you see. Well, it should be taken from him. There was a guy that buried his thing in the ground, and it just seems like that because he didn't even give the gift for usury, that he might gain interest on what his Lord gave him. My goodness, sir, those of you out there, you have an ability to sing. You may not sing solos, but you can sing on key, and you can sing in your church choir. But you don't want to do it. You don't want to take the time. You don't want to put that into it. You're being talked about here. You didn't use that talent for him. Some of you can play instruments. Some of your churches have instrumentalists. It might be horns. It might be a violin. It may be anything that's a flute or anything like that. And you could play in the church orchestra, but no. That was years ago in high school. I'm not going to do it. You won't get out and work on it and use the talent God gave you, what he provided you for his work. Some of you can drive a bus. You can drive 18-wheelers, and you could get a license, a CDL license, to drive a bus and to take boys and girls back to church, and you won't. Some of you are gifted very well physically, and you can run a marathon. But you can't walk two or three blocks door to door, knock on a door, invite boys and girls to come and go to church and witness to the lost parent. Just assume they go to hell. Yeah. And you'll see the rewards you could have had. They're not going to be thrown away. They're going to be given to those that work. That not only had their rewards, but now they have yours as well for eternity, forever. See, the one that had 10 used what God had given, and he used it God's way. The other did not. God said, take it from him, give it to him that has the 10. You know, when you read that, let me tell you about this country. Socialists hate that the lazy do not get the rewards of those who work. Rather, workers who work get the reward. The lazy could have received them if they would have worked. Each was given one. One increased it to 10, another increased it to 5, but that old wicked servant, that old lazy bum, hid his in the ground. Never used it for the Lord. What of the gifts that you have? What means? Maybe you can teach, maybe you can do something else, but what are you using for the Lord? And are you using it his way? There's a lady in our church that when people would be sick, she'd just automatically cook a meal, take it to their house, clean the house if it needed cleaned, help them out when mother couldn't do the work, a husband couldn't do the work. Did what they could, give it a few dollars, you know, if it thought it might help, they needed some things. People did that. This is your radio pastor, Pastor Andy Bloom, saying, may the word of God be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your pathway today.
We want to thank you for listening to the Lamp and Light broadcast. If you would like a CD copy of today's message by Dr. Bloom, send us your name and mailing address, and include the radio station by which you are listening and the date of the broadcast. We would appreciate a gift of $5 to Lamp and Light Broadcast, 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. You may also visit us by our website and freely download the sermons by clicking on the sermon library. That site is www.centralbaptistocala.org. Again, the address of Lamp and Light Broadcast is 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, OCALA, Florida, 34471. And our website is www.centralbaptistocala.org. This is your announcer, Dale Jackson, saying, may God's peace be with all who are in Christ Jesus.
My feet on his firm foundation, for the Bible stands. I will plant my feet on its firm foundation, for the Bible